Well, hey, we want to welcome you this morning. I'm Keith, this is Scott, and it's not every week that you get a couple of pastors on a couple of stools. So we're excited because we get to share some of our local outreach and local vision for reaching our city and valley with the gospel. And so, and by the way, thank you for scooting in. I know our ushers, can we just give them a huge hand? They are trying to... It's like a jigsaw puzzle, putting people in here, and so thank you for that. But if you're a guest here with us, we would love to meet you, and we'll be at the Info Center following the service. We have a gift for you, and if we can help in any way, questions about maybe you're new in this community or about Rock Harbor, we'd love to answer those things, and so please stop by.
Absolutely. Lots of different things going on here this past Friday night. We had a great women's event. Anybody come to that? Okay, if guys would have yelled, that'd been like, really weird.
Yeah, only like 1,100 of them.
Exactly,
showed up,
yeah, something
you know?
Like that.
So, yeah.
Yep, they definitely did show up. That was an awesome time. And starting the 26th of September, so a week from this Tuesday, we're starting a men's Bible study. It's 8 weeks long, and it's an opportunity for us to, as men to come together to study the Bible together, and it starts at 6:15 a.m., and we want to emphasize the a.m. because I had a couple guys a few weeks ago go, man, that's going to be awesome. I can come home, grab dinner, see my kids real quick, and then I can go, and I'm like, you could do that, but there'll be
no one's going to be here.
Be a bunch of young adults here that
yeah,
night.
Exactly.
So it's at 6:15 a.m. in the morning, and the reason is to help guys or us to get up, get going for the day, and not take as much time away from the evening, which is so important for families.
Yes.
Also, coming up, 24th is coming up is our Gather and Go event, which is an event for anybody looking to connect into a community group. And we always say it like this, like one of the best ways to make a larger church feel small is to be in a community group. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's definitely helped in for Joy and I, and it's helped so many people to connect. And so the 24th next Sunday, you can connect into a group at 2:30 in the afternoon following the 1 o'clock service.
Yes, and this week is our second week of a community for the community. Mm-hmm. And last week we highlighted global missions, taking the gospel to the entire world. And this week we want to highlight for our city. And so you were given like an insert that has the budget kind of update with all of that. And then also lots of the ministries, churches, global, local, and even U.S.-based church plants that we get to be a part of. We have been just honored in this city. We've come alongside. We've been around 11 years, but some of the ministries we partner with, they're all going on 50 years of serving, the food banks, the different things. They do a great job, so we come alongside, bring assistance to them. Like Mission Aviation Fellowship is global, but it's based here in Nampa, Idaho. And then you've got like Boise Girls Academy. It's a teen challenge for girls that are going through tough things. And Chrysalis House, Young Life, lots of different things, different ways to do ministry. We just come alongside, so it's right there. There with you. But also, there's some incredible things happening just to the west of where we're sitting right now. It's they're going to be pouring some concrete and stuff. So tell us a little bit about the building here at Rock Harbor.
Yeah, very exciting. Many of you know that we launched a building initiative a few years ago to help us build phase two, which is something greater. And over here on our west, and it's about 44,000 square feet. It's going to have an auditorium that seats about 325, an auditorium that seats about 125, and then 16 community group rooms, and then some staff offices that we don't currently have, which will be a major blessing to have that. And so they started construction. They're going to pour some forms and footings this week, and the hope is to be in by Christmas of 2024 for that building to be completed. And not 2023, but another year from now. It takes a little while to get all that done. If we could do it by this Christmas,
that'd be amazing.
We'd be in construction everywhere. So everyone know how we do that. So we're very excited for that. So, and it's because of your generosity, really, that can happen. We did a building initiative many years ago called Our Time that helped us get into this facility. And so many of you were so generous to make that happen. And so we feel like this is an opportunity for all of us to continue to pay that forward for other people who aren't here yet. And something greater is part of that. We started that 2 years ago. We have about 4 months left on that building initiative. And we're hoping to be able to pay cash for everything at the end. You can see the financials there. I won't go through them because you're adults and so you can figure that stuff out. But if you have any questions, man, please come see me in the lobby. I'd love to answer any questions that you might have about that. That facility is going to cost about $12.5 million complete, all in with everything. And our hope is to be able to pay cash for that. Mm-hmm. You look at our budget, you're like, well, how's that happen? We've already paid several million dollars for the steel and different things ahead of time for that facility. So we're hoping by the end of it all, we'll be right there and be able to pay cash.
Yeah, and our desire is, if you're new to Rock Harbor, just to hear the sacrifices that have been made before, it is never been about building a building, not even this one. It's always been about building lives. And that part of the facility is the discipleship, the multiplication of this church body. So many conversations, small group rooms, our next generation stuff that's happening there. We just want to encourage you, if you haven't been part of something greater, you can still join in. Mm-hmm. And those that made a commitment, our commitments are finishing up in December of this year. And so keep doing that. We've made a decision. We're not going to ask for finances if our budget is meeting those needs. And mm-hmm. so that's why we haven't kept asking since 2 years ago. And so we want to just let you know you can still contribute to that, fulfill the commitment, and then join in if you want to invest at the ground floor of something pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. We set aside 13% of every single thing that comes in that goes to outreach, which is global church planting, all sorts of things. And one facet of that is our church planting local. So many of you know we were able to send a church out in 2016 with 300 and some people. It's called Stonehill. They're probably breaking ground next year in South Meridian. We planted a church 1 year ago today. Mm-hmm. So Redeemer has their first anniversary, birthday, whatever. Can we just woohoo, you know? I guess if we were louder, they could almost hear us because I think they're 2.5 miles as a crow flies. And so thank you so much for just having the courage to send out people. We're not about keeping. We're about putting on mission and sending. And so getting to be part of those from day one. And then also we have, and this is a celebration point, so just get ready. We have $1 million set aside for our next church plant. And so that's what we are very excited about. That may look like sending out a church out of our church, just like we did with Redeemer, its own autonomous church, or a multi-site, which is a church plant, but it may be video streamed for the message part, but live worship, full kids ministry, facility, and all of that. And so why we're sharing that is because just be praying what God's doing, what part of town, what part of the valley the Lord may be calling us to plant churches. We love our city, and we believe that there needs to be more churches, and we want to be part of planting that.
Absolutely. Something else that we just launched this week is called the Rock Harbor Institute, and it's an opportunity for those who might be looking to train for ministry one day, maybe here locally, maybe abroad, maybe in another church, and they're just looking to get some ministry training, and it's equipping part of our church. Sort of this past week, we actually have 10 people who are walking through that. The Institute this year, we call them residents, and they're going to be helping serve in different ministries and also going to be getting some theological training along with just some ministry, practical ministry training. And you're like, well, how come I never have heard about this till now, and how come there's 10 people in it already? We weren't necessarily planning to start this year. It just kind of all worked out, and it's something we've wanted to do since the church was birthed, was to have more part of an equipping of how can we can help people be trained up for ministry and be able to serve in different ministries. And it may be here, it may be other churches in the valley. And I know you receive phone calls, emails from other pastors saying, hey, do you have anybody like that I could have as an associate pastor or somebody working in kids ministry? And we're like, we have a few people that we don't really care for. Yeah, you're welcome to have them. And no, I've never said that because we love everybody on our staff. We have amazing staff, very blessed. Mm-hmm. We just don't have that. That resource is not available. Mm-hmm. And so we want to help be that resource. And so we're very excited for where that's going.
Yeah, and one partnership that has been growing over the last year is with Cole Community Church, which is on Eustick and Maple Grove, and it's in Boise. The church has been doing really great things for years. I mean, we're talking decades in the valley, but they've been without a pastor for a couple of years. And so it was right before Easter that Scott went and preached for them. And then we had our worship team. We put a band together for them and have tried to come alongside them during a season. They have great elders and a church body, but it's a tough time right now without a pastor. And so on October 1st, they are going to be streaming in the Beatitudes series that we're preaching through. And so you'll hear, we'll be like, hey, we want to welcome Cole Community Church today to the message and those types of things. And we're also providing a worship team for them during that time. They're pretty tired. This is just a little bit of reprieve for them as they gather themselves and then pray about what is next for them. And so it's just a great way to partner with the church and come alongside them. Here at Rock Harbor, it's becoming more and more maybe challenging in particular to be at like this service, for example, with parking and things like that. So Scott, I'd love to hear your ideas about how we can continue to reach people and be used by God, and tell us about the 5 p.m. service and bring a lot of conviction around it.
That was an amazing setup.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to fulfill that. So one of the things we've talked about, like October 1st is a big day for us, right?
Yeah.
This partnership and an opportunity to give a little reprieve to Cole really is a blessing. We pray it's a blessing and an encouragement to them. That really is the heart of that. And spending time with their elders has been great, just mm-hmm. talking with them and just trying to encourage them because we need more churches in the area, in the valley for sure. But when we think about here at Rock Harbor, we know that during the 9:45 and the 11:30, I don't know if you've been in the parking lot. It's amazing. And it can be tough at times. And so we're trying to say, how can we spread more people out? Like, what can we do to help with that? And one of the ideas we had is adding an evening service. Something we learned through talking with other churches and just research ourselves was realizing that 30% of the people who work in the United States work on the weekend. Mm-hmm. That means many people can't come on a Sunday morning consistently because they're working. There's just, it's not an opportunity they have to do that. And we're like, well, if we had an evening service on a Sunday night, that might be able to help them be able to attend, for one. Secondly, we have what we call a cabin culture here. Some people leave and go to the mountains on the weekends. It's really weird how that works. And so you come back maybe on Sunday night, you could actually still come to a service at 5 o'clock. And then maybe you come to a service, you're like, I can come anytime. I just come at 9:45 or 11:30 because it's just when it's convenient for me to come and it's easy to come at that time, but I could come at 5. Boy, if you could do that, that could free up some space mm-hmm. in the parking lot and possibly here in the seats as well to really be a blessing for those who maybe wanted to come in maybe for the first time. And we know for many of us, like we understand what this church thing's all about, but not everybody gets that. And they might not come at a 5, but they might come at a 9:45 or 11:30. Those are our two most popular service times to come to. And so we're talking about how maybe a couple things we can do if we're here, maybe just scoot into the middle. They can help us by scooting into the middle. Maybe you bring a scooter here. I don't know. You can help in the parking lot that way. Maybe you have a golf cart. Maybe you live in the area. I don't know. You can walk to church.
Carpool.
Or maybe you can carpool. Like you can just grab some people together and come in. But that's a great way just to create space in the parking lot, create space seats here. Or maybe you're like, I'll come to the 5. Like we have about 300 that have said, I'm ready to come to the 5 o'clock. They're excited for that. Maybe that's you. You're like, we could talk about that. Mm-hmm. And all we're asking is just to have a conversation as a family. Like, hey, what could we do to maybe help serve the church? This is one way we could do that. Or maybe we could start serving in the church somewhere because we know we're going to need volunteers at that 5 o'clock service. Mm-hmm. That service is going to look identical to things on Sunday morning. So same worship, same message, coffee bars open, same kids ministry. Everything is the same. It's just adding an additional service there at the 5 p.m.
And there is a tailgate party on
there
the first.
Is the
and
very
so,
first one. Yeah.
You know, the cool things. 8:15 gets donuts. You know, 5 o'clock.
Gets
October
hot dogs.
1st, yeah, they get a tailgate party.
Yeah.
After that, we can't make any promises. But honestly, it's been something that since day one, we've always made asks. We've mm-hmm. never wanted to touch the glory of God. We mm-hmm. want this to be the Lord's church.
Yeah.
But when there are needs, we want to clearly, as a family, and the family's a little bit bigger these days, express those things. Mm. And we do need people to serve at all services because people think, isn't Rock Harbor good?
Mm-hmm.
There are people everywhere. Not everyone is serving. And so we would ask that if you're not, take that step. It could be an incredibly encouraging mm-hmm. thing. And also, it's a biblical thing to serve in a local church body. And then also, if you could be at the 5, we have over 300 people that have made a commitment already. And that's some are families and some are individuals. Our goal is 1,000 people at 5 o'clock. It's going to be an incredible service. The energy level, like the amount of coffee that I'll have between now and then, it's just going to,
wow.
It's going to be great.
I'm excited to watch that.
And so it's going to be awesome. Can we pray?
Yeah.
God's doing some great things. Let's pray as a body. Lord, we just thank you for the church that you have built. We want to stay out of your way. We trust you. And so God, our hands are open. We lift up Cole Community to you. God, we lift up Stonehill, Redeemer,
yes.
The local ministries that we get to be part of in this city. You have blessed us with an amazing valley, and you love this city more than we do. Let us just open our hands, our hearts, and our minds to how could you use us to continue to reach the people that call this place home. This isn't the home, ultimately. It awaits us in eternity, and we want to see heaven populated. It's in your grace, in your goodness, we pray. Amen. Hey, our value for the one is this. There is one way to God, one truth worth living, and one more life worth reaching. This is one of our 6 values. And this one in particular, this is one we are called to. So when I talk today about being an evangelist, when I talk today about witnessing, sharing your faith, sharing the truth that's in Jesus Christ, there's nothing like being rescued, and you've been rescued to be a rescuer. Found people find people. Part of what I'm going to share, I actually shared a week ago at the porch. So if you're part of the porch, and I know there's quite a few of you in here each and every week, don't be like, I've heard this before. Maybe God wants you to hear it again, okay? But when I was sharing that Tuesday night, there were 10 young adults that came to Christ that evening. Can we just celebrate that? 405 young adults there. Some go to Boise State, some are in college, some are in career age, but God is doing something absolutely incredible. And to see 10 people come to Jesus, and also know this, like, that is amazing, but do you understand that is someone's roommate? That is someone's answered prayer. That may be a prayer of a grandparent or a parent in another state, but they came here to go to college, or a parent that's like, oh, I wish my kid would just go to church with me, but they're 24 and I can't force them. And then they come to the porch ministry and receive Jesus. It's someone's classmate, it's someone's teammate, it's someone's coworker. And that's what it's all about when it comes to rescuing, when it comes to sharing something that we've so been graciously given by God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it to not just get to us, but to go through us. I've heard it said, you are either a missionary or you are a mission field. I don't know how that feels, but it's one of the two. Either you are lost, apart from Christ, never surrender your life to him, never receiving that gift of salvation, that something perfect in Jesus Christ died so that something perfect died so that something sinful, something broken like me could have life in him. And not all have received that gift of salvation. But those that have, we always talk about being a harbor, a safe place for people to come into, and we go out of to seek and save those who are lost. We've been commissioned to do this. The first thing I want to share is embracing the command, the calling, or commission. You pick the word. I put all three there. Some of you are like, I need a command because I need to hear it. Others are like, I like commissioning. I'm going to join in on this teamwork. And others are like, I'm super spiritual, so I want a calling. I put all three of them because I want everyone to be ministered to. Because when we go with the gospel, we go with the command, we go with the commission, we go with the calling. Remember, people are people. People aren't projects. Like if someone feels like your church project, your Jesus project, like you're trying to save them, you're just sharing the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. They're not a project. You ever felt like a project where you're like, I feel like I'm being used right now? You're like checking your wallet, you know, or something. You're like, let the gospel go relationally through you. Speak the truth in love. And remember, the results are God's. The results are God's. See, this commissioning, this command, the last words of Jesus are found in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took Jesus out of their sight. These are his last words on this earth. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, he's going to come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus is going to come back for us. Verse 12, and then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem. They did exactly what he said, and they went back to Jerusalem. We've got to embrace the community, because the community, so we got to, yes, embrace first and foremost this command, but we also got to embrace the community, and the community he instructed them can be applied to our community. Go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. For us, go to your city. Go to the surrounding areas. I mean, even just hearing these things, you understand when he said go to Jerusalem, that's where they hated them. Like, you're to go with the gospel. That's where Jesus was crucified. They hated Christians, but you're to go there first. Then you're supposed to go to Judea, outside of your city. Like, for us, that would be the Treasure Valley. Like, if you live in this region, like, Ontario is part of the Treasure Valley. Mountain Home is part of the Treasure Valley. Kuna and Emmett, like, this valley. He's saying, go to your surrounding region. Then, I mean, these were, like, days upon days of walking, and for us, it's like 45-minute drive, but it's still, nonetheless, it's this region. You're to go, the gospel, and then you're supposed to go to Samaria. Well, yippee-ki-yay, I can't wait to go to Samaria because we hate them. I'm in Jerusalem, they hate us. Go to Samaria, I hate them. And there was this angst and just couldn't stand each other, but you're supposed to take the gospel there. Then on top of that, you know where else you can go? The ends of the earth. Talk about fear just overwhelming the people. I'm supposed to go everywhere with the gospel. It's just overwhelming. I've got to go around the world where I'm hated, where I don't care much for them, but I'm going to go there anyways, and then the entire world. This is overwhelming. But they did it, and they went to Jerusalem. And verse 13 tells you how they did it. They entered in to what was known as the upper room. If you've ever heard that term, this is like the upper room. This is them gathering. While they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the zealot, Judas, the son of James, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. It says, in one accord, they devoted themselves to prayer. It doesn't say they devoted themselves to strategizing. They devoted themselves to putting together different teams, and you go here, and let's draw straws and see, like, who has to go to Samaria, because I sure don't want to go there. They didn't devote themselves to putting a plan together, and what if we did this, and they didn't devote themselves to doing spiritual gift tests and say, who is gifted in this way, and okay, you're more like this. They didn't devote themselves to learning, who's learned another language? You have Rosetta Stone for the Samaritans? Okay, why don't you do that? And I've got bilingual.gov on my phone, and I'm going to just go there. It's not a website. Bilingual.gov, are you kidding me? But I'm going to go there, and I'm going to figure this out. And like, who's going to work here? No, they devoted themselves to prayer. The mission was so big. They didn't devote themselves to strategy. They didn't devote themselves to anything other than in one accord, unified by the Holy Spirit. God, you've given us something so big. Jesus, your words on that mountain before you went up are so clear. I didn't want to hear them. God has given you a mission to share your faith with your neighborhood, your community. You have to embrace your community, your classroom, your neighborhood, the relationships you already have. You have to embrace it. And you have not, listen to this, okay? You have not been called to sell them something. You've been called to tell them something. Going with the gospel is simply telling. God's in control of the results. You're not trying to make, here's how the gospel is so good, and sell them like, and this, and here are all the pros and the cons, and here are all the benefits of being a follower of Jesus. No, it's your life, your story, your journey, pain, suffering, failure, and all. Because people connect more to your failures than they do your successes. They connect more to an authentic, real person than someone who's perfect and has it all together. And you might have been homecoming queen, and you might have been on the honor roll, and guess what? God can still use you, varsity player. I just say that because I was on B team. But anyways, I've always wanted to say that since 1993. Coach didn't put me in. If we would have had a fifth quarter, I'd have won it. But devoting yourselves to prayer. Recognizing I don't have something to sell, I have something to tell. I've been changed by Jesus. That's embracing the message. That's embracing the message and all that it is. The message is this, very simply, this is the words that Peter gave. Peter, yes, the same one that denied Jesus, is now preaching. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, Acts 2:37. And he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brother, what should we do?" And Peter says to them, "Repent. This is the gospel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, every one of whom the Lord God calls to himself." And with many words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. They were in the upper room with 120 people. And the next thing you know, there are 3,000 people following Jesus, 3,000 people baptized. That's 2,500% growth. They didn't even know what they didn't know what to do before. Now they really don't know what to do. And the church continued to grow because the power of the Holy Spirit. People had something to tell, not something to sell. Because not everybody's going to buy persecution. Not everybody's excited about the pain and the suffering. Not everybody's excited about, oh, I can't wait for my family to forsake me because now I'm following this thing called the way, this following of the teachings of Jesus. But to the tune of 33 million people by the years 350 AD. 40% growth every year for 350 years. Half the Roman Empire. We look at that and go, wow. Yes, the power of the gospel. Yes, one man who was God came and turned the world upside down. And these disciples that were devoted and they went first to prayer. They truly embraced this message. We have to embrace the message. And embracing the message, it means that we are going to act in a way consistent with Scripture, but we're also going to speak salvation over and to people. Think about being on a witness stand. If you are a good and credible witness, your character matters. They're not going to select you if your character and any word that comes out of your mouth can be defamed and shut down shortly. No, you've got to have the character. So how do we share Christ? In action and in word. So the action has to match up. But you also have to speak once on the witness stand. You can't just smile your way for people to hear about Jesus and just smile your way in order for the defendant or the prosecution to be backed up with your word. You have to say something. You can't just go, "Well, I smiled and I dressed the part and I sat there." That's not going to work. If you don't have the character, you don't have the actions, it's both of them meshed together. Embracing the message, knowing the message, and then that word embrace, I used it on purpose because it's wrapping our arms around it. It's our very life. Line, just like a life preserver that's tossed. When you have received that, you go back and you share that. So someone else, the gospel can go through you, not just to you. "Hey, I'm saved. I'm on the boat. I'm good. Us four, no more. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about me?" First off, it doesn't rhyme. I know those things. I am a rapper. I spent most of my life living in a gangster's paradise in Kansas. On a tractor. And on farmersonly.com. But anyways, that is not in the notes. But that was of the Spirit, because I felt it. But people aren't saved by smiles. People are saved by speaking. And people are rescued by God and him working through you and your pain and suffering and failures. Like, we have to embrace the message, but there's also a cost in embracing the message. There's a cost. Embrace the cost. Accept it. Recognize, like, there's a cost. I'm willing to pay this cost. Because when we look at this passage and we look truly at what the word witness means in the Greek, martureo. Martureo, that's where we get the word martyr. A witness is a martyr, a witness that's willing to go to death for what they stand for. To be a martyr for the faith. Being a martyr for the faith, like if you've given up your life to Jesus Christ, say, "It doesn't matter, I want him to go through me." You realize, like, this isn't my life, this is his life in me. This isn't my message, this is his message through me. Me sharing my faith, it's not just my, it's not my story, it's his life and salvation through my story. Nothing else matters. These disciples, nothing else mattered. 10 of the 11 were martyred, killed for their faith, crucified upside down, drugged behind a chariot, multiple decapitated. One wasn't, and he was exiled on an island. His name's John. He was beaten and bruised and persecuted, but he was exiled ultimately on an island. We've got to embrace this cost. We also need to embrace the awkward. Why don't you share your faith? Well, it's just kind of awkward. You know, it's like the number one reason people say they don't share their faith. It's kind of awkward. They say things like, you know, I've said these things. I don't have it all put together. I don't know all the answers. I'm still in process. Like, I don't have it all together. Look at Peter. He is the one that denied Jesus, and then he is the one used to preach the gospel. He's a broken person. He's a real stinking person. He's fallen short. But God chose to say, like, your name is Peter. Like, you're a rock. Yes, you've talked out of both sides of your mouth, but I'm gonna use you. And when I use you, these results are gonna be something that only I can do. I mean, this group of people that God used, the group of people that Jesus rolled with, these were like unexpected people. So you don't have to have it all put together. Like, you may feel like I don't know enough or I'm just not good at sharing. What if somebody asks a question that I can't answer? That's a very common, well, I don't have all the answers. Well, here's what you say, they ask that question and you don't know the answer and you go, wow, that's a great question. I don't have the answer. Isn't that a crazy response? Hey, how about if we get together in a couple weeks? I'd love to just research it. I wanna research that, that's really good. I don't know, I'm just learning. I'm new in my faith. You just keep living out your faith. And what you did, you showed humility by saying, I don't have it all together. Because you know that's one of the number one things that people that don't have Christ say about people who do have Christ or say about Christians, oh, they know it all, they're perfect, they have it all together. And then you also said, hey, can we get back together? You set up another time to get together and talk about Jesus. One of the best things that you could do, humility, and continue the conversation and continue sharing and continue demonstrating. Another thing when it comes to, it's just awkward. It's awkward. There's a lot of things that are awkward. You ever been to a middle school? There's a lot of things that are awkward. Like, one of the things when it comes to feeling awkward, it's just like, do we really understand that there are people that are eternally destined for hell? Now, we can't save them, but God can use us. And I don't want to let the excuse, can you imagine standing before the Lord and said, I'd share my faith more? This is kind of awkward. What's that response gonna be from the one that gave it all? And think about this. Like, what if you needed to call 911 for somebody because something was happening and you were like, I was gonna call 911, but it was just kind of awkward? Because it kind of echoes back, and then I know it's recorded, and then it's kind of like, so it was awkward, so I didn't call 911, I'm really sorry. Or you're on one of these Idaho mountain roads, and it's two lanes, and you come around the corner, and there's an accident, and you see it. But you know as this traffic is backed up, if you don't go stop people, there's something horrible's gonna happen. And you're like, man, it was just awkward because I knew I was gonna have to run out and I was gonna have to wave my hands. I was just gonna scream and they're not even gonna hear me. And then, but it was just awkward. And so I went ahead and let them just go. It was awkward. No, what do? We get the flares out. We turn the flashers on. We scream, we yell, we'll do anything to rescue. And I just wanna say, I absolutely believe we need to raise our voices. We need to raise our voices in love. We need to raise our voices in compassion. We need to raise our voices in caring. We need to raise our voices to those that the Lord has placed in and around our lives. If we're really gonna love local, what's in front of you? Who's in front of you? Who's next to you? Who's beside you, students? Almost every, unless you're a nerd and sit on the front row, almost, or you're in trouble and sit on the front row, but almost every classroom where you sit, you've got a student here, one here, one here, one here, one here, one here, one here. Well, I go online. Well, look at your Zoom box that you're on. You've got one here, one here. Who's your eight? in each of your classes? Who's the teammate that your locker's beside? Who do you generally work out with? Adults, who's next to your cubicle? Who's the neighbor that you're walking by? Because I know how many of you are if you're a typical Meridianite. Like 17.9% of you walk your golden doodle. And I identify as one of you. I have one as well. But do you walk and do you think and do you go like, Lord, I want, like, would you open up a door? Do you look for the lonely? Are you looking for people? Like, are you looking to embrace the awkward because it's awkward? Do you ever embrace the interruption? Do you ever embrace the interruption? Because most of us are super annoyed with interruptions. We're always too busy. Are you actually interruptible? 11 years ago, my wife and I, our lives got interrupted. 11 years ago, we were comfortable serving at the church that we were in, but God was moving and beginning to interrupt us. I don't say that because look at things now. I say that because it was in those days. One early morning, I decided to drive a rectangle around this city of Meridian. And I live off of Victory and Eagle Road. And so I'm wise. It's 8 a.m. I'm gonna drive north on Eagle Road. I ain't driving south on Eagle Road. Are you kidding me? So I went against the traffic. And I went up Eagle and I turned left on Chendon and I drove down Chendon and I just prayed right over this property. God, give us this land someday. I didn't know. I just kept driving. It was a bunch of grass. I just kept going in the two-lane Chendon. I tried to turn left on McDermott, which now it's a big construction site and it's gonna be a freeway soon enough. And flipped a U on a two-lane in front of a combine, because that's how we did things back then. Then I went south on McDermott, and I cut over to Black Cat, because you can only cross the freeway on Black Cat, and then I went south to Amity, and then headed back east on Amity, and landed right in front of the Rite Aid by my house that's closing down. I'm super sad about. They're merging with Walgreens, so that's okay. But I get there, and I'm in my 2002 Honda Pilot, and I had set the odometer because I wanted to know this little prayer rectangle that I'd just driven. Like, how far did I just drive? And it said 26.2 miles. And I was like, wow, that's a familiar number. I've heard of people running that. Losers. I drive it. Some of you got that on your car. I'm like, cool. You must be bored. You don't see me putting 1.1 mile on mine, because that's about how far I can go before my knees give out. But it was like the Lord said, this is gonna be a marathon, not a sprint. This is gonna be a marathon. It's not a sprint, Keith. And I went back to the highest point that I saw on that drive at Mary McPherson Elementary, and I parked in an empty lot. And I looked over this city, and I was looking right at this area up here. And I was interrupted that day, because it was like, I know things are comfortable, but are you willing to get out of the rut? And the rut wasn't bad, because there was a lot of great things going, but the rut can get comfortable. And I absolutely believe that if we don't embrace the awkward, if we don't embrace the interruption, we can get caught in a rut. And you know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. It's still a grave, and you will spend the rest of your life in it. You know what you can find in the rut? The same friends that you've always hung out with. You know what you can find in the rut? It's some of the same, like, people. The comfortableness. The same schedule, the same service, the same rhythm. And you can be really, really busy in the rut. Are you interruptible? Do you ever look for the lonely? Do you ever just talk to someone that you don't usually talk to? Do you walk around your neighborhood praying? Do you think about your work environment and go, I know that they're maybe a little bit different than me, but what if the Lord is using me? Are you perfectly fine with, I have Jesus, yes I do. I have Jesus, how about me? Because if we're gonna really live on mission and really live into the fullness of what God wants for us, and the freedom that comes and the rescue that comes, I praise God for those 10 young adults that came to Jesus. But I get weepy when I think about the roommate that has done everything to invite this person and they showed up. the person that's been praying for years, the person that put their life on the line, and they weren't just the witness on the stand that just like smiled. When I smiled, I know that they felt the love of Jesus. I know they heard the gospel through my pearly whites. Are we speaking love, forgiveness, grace? Our journey, our story, our brokenness. You ain't got nothing to sell. You have a message to tell. And shame on us if we're cool with the gospel getting to us, but not going through us. Because we're either a missionary or we're a mission field. Which one are you? And if you've yet to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, I would pray today is the day. Because there's hope and there's life, and there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. And Satan wants you to be busy in your spirituality. He wants you to be busy in the rut of kind of being around churched people. But God wants you out of the rut. He wants the freedom and the fullness of who he is to flow through your life, through your lips, through your actions. To be on mission for him. Would you bow your heads with me? I just want to read Romans 10, verse 14 over us. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him, Jesus Christ, of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? For as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God, let us be people. People with beautiful feet that go. People with hands that serve. And people with lips that we honor you. We honor who you are. We share your hope. We share your life. We share your truth. God, reveal to us our one. Reveal to us our three, our five. Who are the people that we could go? Because we're not going to be in that class for the rest of our lives. No, it's for a semester. We may not be at that job forever, but we'll spend eternity somewhere forever. We may be that the Jesus that some need to see. Let us not stop short of letting you flow through us, not just to us. We ask this in your gracious and your good name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, I just want to thank you for being here. Please take your next step. Please consider going to the 5 p.m. service and serving here at Rock Harbor. It will absolutely change your life and someone else's. Have an awesome day.